Let's sit. Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk.
No more whispering in our mind.
Today is Let's Talk Black Politics with your host, Chelsea Wattigo.
Thank you for joining Let's Talk. Let's Talk Black Politics. My name is Chelsea Wattigo and I'm a Mananjali and South Sea Islander woman through the Wattigo, Williams and Slocky families. And I am joined with co-host Dr. David Singh.
Thank you, Chelsea. As Chelsea said, my name's David Singh. I'd like to acknowledge country first and foremost and pay my respects to elders past, present and future. I'm a settler of colour, although that shouldn't matter objectively. My background, if anyone's interested, is as an academic, a scholar and a community organiser in a past life. And I'm really honoured to be here and discussing black politics with Chelsea Wattigo, my colleague of many years now.
So we're talking black politics. What a week it's been.
It's extraordinary. Over the years that I've been in this place, so-called Australia, 20 years now, I've seen the numbers swell at Invasion Day protests. I have seen the slow disappearance of Australian flags in my suburb. Mm-hmm. I've seen merch withdrawn from the supermarket shelves. When I first got here, people talked about backyard cricket and two up. I don't hear any of those conversations anymore. People are politically aware, more so than they've ever been. Something is happening. And I'm convinced it's the power of black social movements in this place that's affecting a degree of change in such a short space of time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's, I guess, interested me in thinking about this program and looking at black politics is at the Invasion Day marches, we saw mainstream media casting the Invasion Day protests as having been hijacked by the No campaign. And some of the conversations that are being had in this moment around The Voice that suggests that as blackfellas we don't know what we're talking about because we don't have a law degree or we just haven't done the readings, I find really offensive. And I guess the purpose for us with this program is to talk black politics in a way that doesn't presume anyone owns it or can be the ultimate knower of it. And so what we'll be looking at is black social movements, particularly in this place, and thinking through more deeply the philosophical underpinnings of our movement, which seem to have gotten lost on Invasion Day by some non-Indigenous observers and some of the Yes campaigners who just dismissed out of hand what blackfellas were talking about at Invasion Day protests.
Absolutely. And if I may, Chelsea, that as a scholar, an academic, I've been interested in the power of social movements, and it's a legitimate field of study. And there's a particular theorist who's since passed, respect to him, Aziz Chowdhury, and he had this to say about social movements. Some of the most profound understandings about our world emerge from ordinary people coming together and working for change. They come from Indigenous peoples holding the line on their land against the state and corporate assaults on their sovereignty. He goes on, in order to get a handle on what it actually takes to organise for change, we must take seriously the learning and the production of knowledge that occurs in the intellectual work of daily struggles as people come together to discuss problems, injustices, debate strategies and act.
Absolutely. Listening to all the speakers here in Meanjin at the Ranger Day protest, I just love sitting and listening and learning in the moment. And we had an array of speakers who spoke, placed that day in its historical context, reminded us of the people who have gone before us and the battles that they fought. But we also got to hear from speakers speaking to the world we need to be, the way we need to carry ourselves. And one of those speakers that really, she gets me every time, but Sister Ruby Wharton was just, amazing. And so I want to share with you some of what she had to say yesterday.
Great.
We leave this land!
We leave!
We leave this land!
We leave!
We stole this land!
We leave!
We stole this land!
We leave!
I want to pay my respects to the traditional owners, the Yuggera, the Turrbal. If it wasn't for them and their battles with the frontier wars led by Warrior Dundalee and many others, we wouldn't be able to stand here today to still fight. Even if we aren't Yuggera or Turrbal, these people's fight is the reason why we can stand here. away from our countries and continue to fight for sovereignty, truth and freedom. Do you mob know why we're here today? I'll yell out what you mob think we're here for today.
Freedom!
That freedom, that's what we're here for. Sovereignty, that's what we're here for. Truth, that's what we talk about day in, day out, to ensure that we enact sovereignty and we protect our people, and we remember that even with these chains on our necks, we are free. This is our country, and as long as we stand on it, we will always be free. Because we don't exist in this dimension. We go on to experience many other lifetimes after this one. And it's all about the same thing. Freedom, sovereignty, and kin and community and country. That never changes. So you mob gotta ask yourself, when you're posed with things like constitutional recognition, what is it that we stand for? That first sentence in that Uluru Statement from the Heart says that First Nation sovereignty is equal to that of our invading crown. Hey! Well, f***ing how? You mob gotta understand that because a white person wants to talk to you and a government wants to talk to you and they think that they'll play into your idea of sovereignty and your idea of being a strong black person and enforcing that identity. They play into it time and time again. They talking about constitutional recognition by the head of state out in Alice Springs, talking about oppressing First Nations people after eradicating really terrible legislation imposed on those people. Make that make sense. Read the play. You mob all play sport. You mob know what that next pass and that next set of six is going to happen at the All-Stars game. You mob predict that. So predict the colonizer. He ain't nothing new. He ain't nothing slick. You are better. Be better. Have courage to be better. Have courage to stand alone and look that colonizer in the eye. Even when you got your own mob telling you to shut up and sit down, you stand the f*** up. Kids. This is about our grandchildren's grandchildren. What are they going to say about you in this moment? You know what I can say about my grandparents? That my old Nana was thrown in the back of a paddy wagon. Old Beryl Wharton, mother of 10, pillar of a community, being thrown by them copper dogs into a back of a paddy wagon. That's what she did for me and my cousins, me and all you babies. That's what she did. She stood alone when black families were isolated and forced to be silent. There were 10 families. They all come from the 4077. Inala has heart, and that heart created Brisbane Blacks. We are calling ourselves Brisbane Blacks, but do we recognize that heart? Do we recognize our future? Right now, the government is declaring war on young First Nations kids. They are declaring it. That's what Palaszczuk f***ing wants. She announced last year on the 5th of October that they're going to develop a new youth prison, and I hate calling them detention centres. Are they being detained or are they being put in chains? Do they still have spit hoods on their head? Can they see their future? No, because they're blocked behind bars, they're blinded by a system, and they're silenced by our own community who refuse to stand up and fight for it.
Ah, fight for it, David.
Wow.
Hey.
What oratory, right?
Yeah.
Just electrifying.
Mm-mm.
And what it does for me as a settler is remind me of my contingent presence in this place.
Yep.
Who owns this land?
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's
we
not
do.
Up for negotiation. Right? And you have to renegotiate your relationship to this place every day.
Yep.
You cannot assume a tenure in this place.
I mean, I love listening to the sister speak, and of course, not just for how she makes you feel, but how she's made us think, even in our work, understanding Indigenous critical race theory and helping to educate others. We've drawn on her theorising at rallies before, and I guess this is what we want to honour in this program of Black Politics, is the theorising that is, we talk about the heart of a movement, but what we want to do is engage with the minds of the movement, Black minds, Black critical consciousness. And there were some things that stood out for me, like so many things. Sis says, you've got to read the play. And the function of this program is not to be the authority on Indigenous critical race and Black politics, but to be in conversation with other mob about how to read the play. Because there is nothing new about the colonial project in this moment. And one of the things that stood out for me was, we've been subjected to this discourse with the yes to constitutional recognition on the referendum. And they've used this, if not now, then when. It's only in this generation that we can do it. And when you listen to Ruby talk, she's not talking about this generation. She's talking about her children's children, the generations that are to follow. There is a long-term strategy going on here that is beyond this current moment. Where individuals are seeking their moment. And that certainly just really struck me because if you're reading mainstream media, reading the op-eds from the Black lawyers, they're all chastising Black fellows for having questions about the referendum and that the idea that asking questions is somehow sabotaging this time. And the story was that Invasion Day protest was the launch of the campaign for the no vote. You can't listen to Ruby speak and still run that line. She's speaking about freedom and what that means in an embodied sense every day in this place, irrespective of what the settlers decide to do about us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was struck by, in that short speech, how much theorize, the depth of theorizing, the sophistication of the theories applied, historically contextualized, all in that short snatch of commentary. It was extraordinary. There are political scientists who just spend eons just poring over questions about what is happening right now, what's the balance of forces, what are the contradictions of the state, how is the state moving to correct those contradictions. And Ruby just comes along and just gives this assessment that basically captures this moment and those to come.
And which anyone can understand, irrespective of whether or not I've got an undergrad degree in whatever discipline.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that's made me wild as a Black fella who's, come to race, not just in the academy, but in my own life, had to think about it and work, how to fight it. And in this time is that when the proponents of yes, tell mob to do the readings or just don't have an understanding and They're using the same racial logic that we're subjected to when it comes to even in critical race theory that we could never know. I've had race scholars here, settlers here, have cracks at me that I don't have a sophisticated understanding of race and therefore just exclude any of my work. It's not new to insist that Black fellas are intellectually inferior. It's not like we haven't heard it before, but it's then they're continuing to run that line. And I mean, this program for me is also a line in the sand that marks our resistance to that, our refusal to accept that we cannot know, that we were unknowing subjects who just have to accept whatever served up to us. And I think, the purpose is that these conversations about our place politically, culturally, they need to be had with mob. In accessible ways, and we need to have room to have debate and discussion and disagreement without being demonised as somehow, you know, working against our own people. And it's that lack of criticality right now in Indigenous affairs that I think is actually sabotaging our movement.
Interesting. I mean, from my perspective, I'm interested in how the Academy has responded or hasn't, right, to questions of race in particular and sovereignty. It's almost as if blackfellas have nothing to say about the social world they inhabit, right, or modernity, as is understood by the Western Academy. And it has a very terra nullius vibe, that kind of indifference.
And this sort of framing of just like we're just passive recipients of.
Yeah, absolutely, right.
Like, where have you been?
Absolutely. And this refusal to countenance a discussion of race and formally institute it as a course of study in the Academy is really interesting, right? Because then there would have to be a reckoning with questions of sovereignty, for instance, and land and dispossession. And there's been a deliberate avoidance, in my view, on the part of some of the disciplines, particularly social sciences, right? I was struck by, in the aftermath of the Black Lives Matter moment and the explosion of marches across the world, that disciplines like sociology and their umbrella bodies put out no statement whatsoever commenting upon that.
Well, in some schools, David, you may well remember, some criminologists sent out emails in support of the good work that police are doing. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. And that stood in sharp distinction.
That was their one statement they made.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it stood in sharp distinction to elsewhere. I mean, sociologists of colour insisted that sociology in Britain take account of Black Lives Matter. They did. They put out a statement and then they reviewed the study of race and ethnicity in sociology. Nothing. Crickets here in Australia. Crickets from all the disciplines. And it's somehow construed that black communities have nothing to say about this world at this moment, in the past or in the future. That they are passive resistance. They're only objects of research.
Yep. Yeah. And just to complete erasure, though, of the wins in acts of black resistance. Yeah. That haven't been dependent upon white validation, white acceptance. That to me is just such a dishonouring, you know, of the people that have gone before us. And, you know, Ruby talked about legacy.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared to honour the legacy of those that have gone before us, and not just the grand acts but the individual feats of mob that are fought. And our goal through this program, over the course of this program, is bring to you some of those stories, those yarns of black fellas in this place and the exemplars of excellence. Yeah. Of courage that Ruby calls on, so we're excited to bring you that, and bring mob into that conversation, because this is a conversation we need to be having. Some of the things we're looking at over the next little while, we're going to be talking about rage and the importance of rage as a strategy, as a necessity.
Yep.
We'll be also looking at joy and justice. Of course, we're going to talk about nihilism. You know we're going to go there.
Yep.
But themes like solidarity, sovereignty, and looking at even blackness locally and globally in the context of black social movements.
And I'm particularly looking forward to the discussion that we're going to have on the ethics of what anti-racist practice looks like in this moment. Especially for allies.
And spoiler alert, it's not the diversity and inclusion take.
No, it isn't. But what we're hoping to do is kind of canvas the depth and the sophistication of theorising emerging from social movements, black social movements at this time, both in this moment, in the past and in the future.
Absolutely. I just want to, before we wrap up, I've got a recommendation from this week. I managed to catch Richard Bell's documentary, You Can Go Now, after the rally and march. And it was interesting, you know, going from the march to Musgrave to the movies. And, you know, it is a documentary about Richard Bell's life and legacy, but it also is a great provides great historical context to the emergence of the Black Power movement here. So if you get a chance, I'd encourage you to go and check out Richard Bell's. You can go now in selected cinemas. It's worth the watch, lots of archival footage. You know, and he talks about his work, whether he's an artist or an activist, and he says, I'm an activist masquerading as an artist. And I think for a lot of black fellas, whatever we do in our day jobs, we're activists masquerading as something else. And so it's good for those thinking about your own position and your work and what you do, and also speaks to the importance of that courage to, you know, stand up for who you are and what you believe in. And that it traces back some of his upbringing and how he was politicised in Redfern. And it just speaks to the power of Indigenous critical race theory here. It comes from a place, from experience. And what we want to do in understanding race here is foregrounding Indigenous experiences in our understanding of it. Because who knows race better than black fellas? I mean, it's black fellas that are most brutalised by it. If you can, check it out. See you, Mob, next time.
Let's sit. Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk.
No more whispering in our minds.
Today is Let's Talk Black Politics with your host, Chelsea Wadigo.